But there is more here in this passage in John 10 than I can get to this morning. But that's great because you get to take it home with you. Everybody here, almost everybody here has a copy of God's Word. And we skipped over chapter 9 because we had to. If you're here Wednesday night, we looked at chapter 9. There's no way in this world that we can cover all these verses in the Gospel of John leading up to Easter. Let me encourage you. There is a feast here laid out before us. Take this home with you. Spend some time here this week. It is worth it. It is so worth it. John chapter 10, let me tell you what is happening here right at the very beginning. We've already read through the passage, but let me, in these first four verses, the first five verses, Jesus is drawing a contrast. And it is a contrast of identities that he is speaking, as it were, he is speaking to the sheep, and he is drawing out a picture for the sheep of how they can identify the shepherd, and how they can identify a thief. Do you guys see that? Jesus is drawing a distinct contrast. In fact, look at some of the ways that he identifies who is who. And he says, the way that you attempt to come into the sheep, that will identify who you are, whether you are a shepherd or whether you are a thief. If somebody wants to come and visit me in my home, you know what you would do? You would walk up to, if it was the first time that you were there, you might walk up to the front door and ring the doorbell. If you've been there, if you just old hat, you just probably walk through the screen porch. But you know what? You would come through the door, right? But if it's in the middle of the night and you're trying to break a window and crawl through the window, you're probably not a friend. That's an easy way to distinguish, right? So Jesus says, the way that you attempt to get into the sheep where they are, that will distinguish you, whether you are a shepherd or whether you're a thief. If you're climbing up over the wall and you're not going through the door, then that automatically identifies you as a thief and a robber. You're no good for the sheep. He keeps going. And he says, but the shepherd, the door opens to the shepherd. The shepherd goes through the door. And one of the ways that Jesus says you can distinguish between a shepherd and a thief and a robber is the relationship that he has with the sheep. He said the sheep hears the shepherd's voice. The shepherd knows the sheep by name. The shepherd leads them out and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. And so Jesus is drawing this distinction and he's looking at the people in front of him and in speaking to us. And he says, listen, I want you to understand how you can distinguish between a shepherd and between a thief and a robber. We get to verse 6, and we realize that Jesus is speaking in a figure of speech. Jesus is using an illustration to communicate a spiritual truth. But the people that he was talking to didn't understand him. And so Jesus opens it back up. And he starts talking to them, and now he is very specific about what he is talking about. Look at verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door. Now Jesus goes back and he's going to put some names into that illustration. And he says, remember I told you that anybody that comes to the sheep over the wall or in any way other than the door, he said, that's a thief and a robber. And he says, here's how you know. He says, I am the door. Anybody that wants to come into where the sheep are, and the sheep are within the illustration, and he's looking at a bunch of Jews, and Jews already saw themselves as the sheep in God the shepherd's pasture. That's very prevalent in the Old Testament. It's a very prevalent illustration in the Old Testament that we are God's sheep. We are God's children. He is our shepherd. And so with the sheep, he is specifically talking about God's people. And he says, listen, he said, you want to come into where God's people are by any way other than through the door, and you are not a sheep. You are a robber. What's he mean? He says, I am the door. He said this before. Listen. There is no name under heaven by which a man can be saved except for the name of Christ. There is no source of life other than that which Jesus can give you. There is no just I trust in God in general. There is no I've cleaned my life up. There is no, hey, I've done this or I've done that. No, listen, the only way to get into the fold of God's people is through the door of Christ. And anybody that would tell you that there is a message of hope apart from Christ, they're lying. And they are a robber and a thief. You cannot become God's child. You cannot become God's own through three very simple steps. You can't do it. You cannot become God's child by thinking positively. You cannot become God's child by just making a few good, right decisions, or by cleaning your life up, or by turning your life around, or whatever it is that we want to say. Listen, if it isn't because of Christ, if it isn't through Christ, then you're climbing over the wall. And Jesus says you need to identify that person as a thief and a robber. Jesus is the only way to be given life. It's Jesus. Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus said, he's going to say later, he says, no man comes to the Father except through me. And we're going to see that here actually in chapter 12 next week. No man comes to the Father except through me. Let's keep going. He says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. When we look to Christ, what is it that we find? Man, we find the door, an open door, that through Christ we can now know the Father. We can be called by His name. We can come into the fold of His sheep, where His sheep are gathered together and are safe. And then He says, we will be given pasture. Everything that we need, we will be given pasture. Why? Because we have looked to Christ. Now, let me tell you what the alternative is and what was happening in Jesus' day and what's happening in our day. I've already mentioned some things that we may hear, but the alternative is going to be, and this is what the disciple, and this is what the Pharisees really were communicating, that you have to become God's child by doing this, by keeping the law, by doing certain things. That's not the door. And when you look for your answers in what we do, then you're missing who Christ is and what He offers. And He is the one who offers us salvation and life. We're going to see in just a minute, abundant life. So Jesus is the door. He is the only one that you can go through to become a child of God. John chapter 1, to those who believe on His name, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God. Let's keep going. So Jesus says, I am the door. Then He says in verse 10, He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now listen, what Jesus is describing here, okay, is not now the way into the sheepfold, but Jesus is now describing the intent of the two distinct people He's describing, the shepherd or the thief and the robber. There is a thief and a robber who presents himself as a shepherd, but his intent is to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, let's stop for just a second here. And again, man, I wish we had more time to spend here, but we're going to keep moving. Listen, why do you need to know how to distinguish between who is a shepherd and who is a thief and a robber? Why do you need to know that? Why would Jesus take the time and half of a chapter to describe for us in detail how we can distinguish between the shepherd and a thief and a robber? It is because there are many false shepherds. It is because there are many things that would attempt to capture your attention and build themselves up as worthy of following them. Let me tell you a couple. Number one is, and this is probably the biggest one that we deal with, and every single person in here, I guarantee you, that you have and will be tempted to follow this false shepherd. And it is the false shepherd of our own reason and our own logic. Well, see, this seems right to me. And so because it seems right to me, I think this is probably what I ought to do. And Jesus says, wait a minute. Let's look at the distinguishing characteristics of a false shepherd, a thief and a robber, and the real shepherd. Is this coming over the wall, or is this coming through the door of Christ? And if it's over the wall of my own ability and my own effort and my own logic and my own reason, guess what? It's coming over the wall. That's a thief, man. I don't need to follow that. I'll tell you another one. Another one in our culture, the false shepherd of pleasure, and a lot of times that comes in the form of the false shepherd of money. Well, if I can just make a little bit more, then me and my family, we'll have a much better life. We'll have a much higher quality of life. And that seems like such a great idea. But it's a false shepherd. Jesus is showing us, hey, everything else, in fact, he says, everything that came before me, thieves and robbers. He says, but the sheep didn't hear him. Jesus is building himself up. He's showing us everything other than himself is a thief and a robber. And the thief and the robber, their intent is to steal and kill and destroy. Everything else that we would be tempted to follow, the end result is that our life will be stolen and ruined and we will be killed. Everything else other than Christ. But watch. He says, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus' intent is to give life and to give abundant life. That even in our sacrifice, even as we take up our cross, taking up our cross with Christ is better than the destruction of sin. You guys know that? Now watch this. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. And here is what Jesus, it's almost as if Jesus is just pleading with us. Because here is the conclusion that he's hoping that we will come to. Verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. That whatever it is that we are tempted to look at and we are tempted to say, hey, that looks pretty good. I think I'll follow that. I think I'll make my decision because I think that looks good. Jesus is saying, forget it. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, why would Jesus say, what's the purpose of the adjective there? I'm the good shepherd. The purpose is that there's a lot of shepherds out there that are not good. Jesus, though, is making a distinction. He's making a distinction of himself. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. That everything else is a thief and a robber and has come to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus is the good shepherd. Watch what he says about the good shepherd. Verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, flees, the wolf snatches them and scatters them away. Anybody who's not the good shepherd, what happens when there's danger to the sheep? If he's not the good shepherd, he's going to run away when the sheep face danger, and what's going to happen? The sheep are going to suffer for it. But the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Why? Because it is only the good shepherd who loves the sheep. It's only the good shepherd who has the sheep's best interest in mind. Verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Let's stop right there for just a second, and we're going to close. We're going to stop there. Listen. Jesus has been telling us, as we have walked through the Gospel of John, Jesus has been telling us, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. That Jesus is the one, that what we need, Nicodemus, is new life. That what you need, Samaritan woman at the well, is you need a spring of living waters welling up inside of you. The life that you have now, the water that you're trying to get, it's no good. You need a new life. What you need, Pharisees, is you need the Son of Man to call you to life. You need new life. And then we saw back in chapter 8 last week that Jesus says, my true disciples are the ones who continue in my word. And now we see Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And let me tell you what's happening here. That Jesus is showing, hey, listen, believe me, believe in me, be given new life. And what that new life looks like is following the shepherd. That Jesus is, he is now our shepherd. He is the one who gives us life, and that new life looks like following the shepherd. But what happens if we follow other shepherds? What happens if we don't hear the shepherd's voice? We follow strangers. Jesus is making the distinction here between himself and all the other false shepherds so that we will look to him as the good shepherd. But let me tell you the other distinction that Jesus is making here. The other distinction that Jesus is making here is who is and who is not his sheep. Can you really say that you trust Jesus, that you believe Jesus, and him not be your shepherd? The answer to that question is no. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Follow me. And I know my sheep. Jesus is saying, this two sides of the same coin, believe and follow. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. Don't follow those other things. You need to look to me. I am the door. Here is how you come in. And here is who you follow. Jesus is the door and the shepherd. He is the way that we come in, and he is the one that we follow. We just need to stop for a minute, and I want us to just chew on that. Jesus is the good shepherd. Who are we following? Who is the shepherd of our life? Who is it that walks out ahead and we say, that's where I'm going because that's where my shepherd is going? How are we trying to get into the sheep? How are we trying to get into and become part of the people of God? Is it through Christ? Or am I trying to make my own way? Am I trying to do my best and to do these certain things? These are important questions. And Jesus is drawing these distinctions. He's making it easy for us to see everybody else, everything else that would capture our attention, that would draw us to follow thieves and robbers, steal, kill, destroy. but Christ. He came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, He is the Good Shepherd. We trust Him. We follow Him. Father, God, I praise you for making your word so clear. Lord, not my words, but your words. And God, I pray that we would see the distinction that you have made. And God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see our own lives, to see who we are following. God, I pray that we would look to your Son, Jesus, as the door of all that we need. We would look to your Son, Jesus, as the Good Shepherd. And we would trust Him and follow Him. God, I pray that your Spirit would be, that your Holy Spirit would be free to do what we so desperately need Him to do in each of our individual hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you are here, and maybe you have never entered the door of Christ. Maybe you have tried every other way, but you have never looked to Christ as the Savior that you so desperately needed because you are a sinner. We are all sinners before a holy God, and we need Jesus to give us life. Maybe it is that you name the name of Christ, but yet He is not your shepherd, and you are following a stranger, a thief, a robber. And if that is you, if you sit in your pew this morning and you find yourself following a thief, the best thing to do is to this minute stop and say, "Oh, the Lord," and look to Christ and call out to Christ and confess what you have been doing as sin and to say, "Jesus, I need you. I need you to be my shepherd. I need life. And you are the only one who can give it to me. And I need to come in the door through you. And I need to follow you. You are the Good Shepherd." And you know what? He will meet you with open arms. And He will be your shepherd. And you will know His goodness. And you will know the life that He came to bring and the abundant life that He came to bring. So as we stand, as we sing, let me just encourage you, search our own hearts. See what the Lord would have us to do. Let's stand and sing. Thank you. Listen, I am really excited about this, and I don't have to introduce them because most of you know them, but Joel and Lisa Cox come this morning to become a part of our church family by transfer of letter. Is there a motion that we accept them into our church family? Second? Any opposed, but we don't need to go there first. All in favor of accepting Joel and Lisa Cox into our church family, I indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You're in. All right. Listen, this is a great blessing, and I know that I've had the opportunity to sit down with Joel and Lisa in their home, and I know that you will find it a great blessing to get to know them as well. The Lord has given Joel and Lisa some very strong gifts, and they're just great people to know, by the way. And so the Lord plans to use them in our church family. He's brought them here not just because they need us, but because we need them as well. And we have gifts and talents and strengths that will be an encouragement to them. And that's how God works. That's how God builds His church, not just up, but He's filling in holes and building us up into His dwelling place here as we love each other and as God uses us in each other's lives. That can't happen if you don't get to know these folks, though. So here in just a minute, Joel and Lisa, I'm going to ask you guys to sit down at your seat. We're going to serve the Lord's Supper. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you guys to come back up here. And church family, you come up and shake their hands and hug their necks and tell them how thankful you are that God led them this way. So you guys have a seat. I'm going to ask the deacons to come forward and prepare the table. You know, one of the distinguishing characteristics of the good shepherd is that he lays his life down for the sheep. That no one else that we could follow, no one else who would build themselves up or no idea that would build itself up as the shepherd of our life, no one else will sacrifice his life because he loves us. Jesus alone loves us like that. That's one of the reasons that he is the good shepherd, because he lays his life down for the sheep. And here, as we celebrate what we call the Lord's Supper or communion, it is something that the Lord himself has given us so that we will remember, so that in a very tangible way, there is something here that we can feel, there's something here that we can taste, there's something here that we can tangibly feel and remember. This is what Christ has done. This bread represents how his body, it really was broken. The juice here, it's just juice. There's nothing mystical. There's nothing special about it. It's just juice, but it's a picture. It's a picture that we can remember. Hey, Jesus' blood really was poured out for us. This is what he has done. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the Lord tells us that whenever a man eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. Here's his point. This is a very serious thing. That as we take this bread and this cup, as we remember, we declare, Jesus is my Savior. I am looking to Him. He is my good shepherd. But if there are things in our life that are between me and the Lord, if there is unconfessed sin there, then the Holy Spirit admonishes us, we need to get that right before we take the bread, before we take the cup. So let's just take just a minute and let's examine our own hearts, and then we'll take the bread and the cup. Father. God, I praise you for giving us, Lord, this way that we might remember. God, I pray that you would protect us from the thought of your Son giving his life for us, becoming common and everyday and insignificant. God, I pray that you'd protect us from that. And God, I pray that as, Lord, as we feel this bread and as we taste this juice, God, I pray that our hearts would be drawn to exalt your Son and what he has done, because we so desperately need him and this sacrifice was so great. God, thank you for the good shepherd who's willing to lay his life down for us. Lord, your Son has done this for us. And I pray that our hearts would be yours because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The scripture says, in the same way, he took the cup.